Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that song. And I always like to kind of know what's going on. And I was listening to that singing, Sister Butler, and I thought, that pianist has got an unusual voice that's singing lead there. You know, I thought the pianist. And finally, I saw the drummer was singing. So I kind of got that clear in my mind. I thought for a while, boy, I mean, that's an unusual voice for a woman. And I like to be aware of what's going on, don't you? And when y'all started singing number 202, did one of you guys make a little run on your flat top? Yeah, I thought I heard that. Boy, that sounded good. I'd like to hear a little more of it. So, and there's always a lot of good things to look at, be surprised at. And, you know, I've been coming down here for years. In fact, Brother Miller, I started down here, I think, somewhere around 79, coming down here to this church. Now, I didn't every year, but that's when I was here 2-3 years or something. Brother King, you remember it. Anyway, did you know I've come over those mountains different times? But I think it's Highway 709, but I'm not sure about that. But 7-something up there. When you come down there, just before you get to that sign, there's a mountain that's got some unusual rock formations, and I'd never seen them till yesterday. I told my wife, I said, now watch for this. You won't see this. This is good. And she's really impressed. And so just wonderful things to be seen. And I certainly enjoyed Brother Miller. I'll tell you, preaching on the Holy Ghost, amen. And I don't across what he said about wiggling their chin or what have you. But when I got saved, that's the way those old women would do. They'd wiggle your chin, shake, you know. And I kind of resented that, really. Beat you in the back. But after these last few years watching how people just don't seem to care if you are seeking the Holy Ghost, I kind of wish for a few of them back. Just at least show some excitement about what's going on, you know. And I asked Brother Miller, because I've told this, I don't know how many times, but years ago, 40 years ago, 35 years ago, 35, 6 years ago, he was preaching in Fairland camp meeting. And when he got through, this young Mexican man walked up to him and went to speaking to him in Spanish. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, yes, you do. He said, you preached that whole sermon to me in Spanish, and you told me all about myself. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? What a miracle. And he just told me, I got the rest of the story. He saw it about 5 years ago. That's 30 years later, and he still had that good salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Say, I know I don't need to be taking the time with all this, but I mean, how can you keep from commenting when you see a man up there and you realize and you hear how the Holy Ghost is using him? Amen. And he's talking about Brother Dutch Allender. That brought to mind Brother Leon Baker. Amen. Brother Leon Baker, Dutch Allender. I can't think who the other one was, but anyway, it's a couple of young preachers. And they'd been seeking for the Holy Ghost, and they hadn't received it. So he said, do y'all really want the Holy Ghost? And they said, yes. Brother Leon Baker said, come with me, and I'll take you. Tomorrow night you'll get it. And he took them to a black church. And they got them up front, got them to pray. Well, that black pastor had schooled his members, and they would go in this group would work with you for a while till they wore out. They get up, another group come down. They just went in shifts. And they kept them old boys at the altar till they prayed them through to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. They'd get up there and shout with them. When they got wore out, another group come in. They just wait their turn. I like to see people that's interested in people getting the Holy Ghost. Don't you? Hallelujah. I still believe, as I said before, To me, I want it to be more than a doctrine. I want it to be an experience. Praise the Lord. That isn't what I want to preach on. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for everything. And again, it's just good to be back in Virginia. I believe, really, you people are better to me. I don't know why. You just seem like you're just so good to me, and I appreciate it so much. And so I want to go back to Acts, the 13th chapter, and read a few verses there. Yesterday I talked about, and I was talking about the son of David. And I really, you know, I would like, I'd really like sometime just teach this to Sunday school, because I'd like to learn more about it. Not that I want you to learn more, but I'd like to know more about it. But anyway, when Paul is preaching there, I think he's at Antioch, Pisidia. Yeah. And I'm going to the 32nd verse. And he said, "We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which is made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he hath also in another, he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid under his fathers, and saw no corruption. But he whom God raised again saw corruption, rather. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. From that you could not be justified by the law of Moses." I love that verse. I'm not going to preach on it particularly. "By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." I remember the Bible said he made him be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he kept the law perfectly. So by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from that which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In other words, when I accept him as my Savior, it's as though I kept the law perfectly. You know, I like it, don't you? Amen. "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despise, and wander and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will, you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." And again, here's something I've always said it. I will work. He doesn't say I will work. He said I work. I'm right at it right now. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we appreciate your goodness and mercy. We thank you for that which we've already heard today. Brother David Miller, Lord, and the words he spake and how good they were. And oh God, if ever a church needed to be desirous and zealous for the things that the Holy Ghost has to offer, it's in our day. God, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church, enjoy this good singing and all the worship that's going on. Lord, and we're looking forward to Brother McDonald tonight when he breaks the bread of life. We're just looking for a great day in you. Lord, would you just stand by my side now and help me, because you know, Lord, I'm not able to do it unless you help me. We ask you to do these things and give us grace and give us knowledge and erase from our mind anything that would benefit your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope the Lord will help me on this, and it'll take me just a little while to get into this, but I appreciate God's word, don't you? And I'm amazed how God will start with something and just keep building it up, building it up, building it up. And I got to think about David. And I look back in Genesis in the 49th chapter there where Jacob is giving his blessings to his sons. And I want to read you a few verses there in the 49th chapter where he said, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There's more of that, but that's all I want to read. But I was looking at this, and I just want to make a few comments on this, because this involves David. This involves David. 650 years almost before David was ever born, or before David come along, I should say, maybe 600 years, I don't know. But there was an old man dying, and he's given some words out, and he's going to involve something that's going to happen from then till David's time, till Christ's time, and even into the future time. Amen. Just imagine that. Words that are that powerful. When Jesus said his word would not pass away, my Bible will eventually go, your Bible will go, and all the material will go, but God's word stands steadfast. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. And I was looking at this, and can I just give you a little something on this? I was looking where he said Judah is a lion's whelp. And he said, you know, Judah is thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And then it says that he is the one that his hand shall be in the neck of enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before me. We know Judah means praise, but he gives us something else. Judah has a warlike character about him. You remember Caleb was the first to lay his hand on the neck of his enemies. And the Bible said Joshua 14:11, when he came and after they'd wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, Caleb looked at those giants and looked at all the obstacles they'd looked at 40 years ago. And I love this. He's talked about he was 80 years old, and he said, as yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He said, if the Lord had allowed me to go in 40 years ago, I would have conquered. But since he didn't allow me, I'm still ready to conquer. So when the Bible said he shall lay his hand shall be in the neck of his enemies, God was telling him, you're going to be conquerors. You're going to have a character about you. You're going to fight the battles, and you're going to win. Then the Bible tells us in Judges how that whenever they were, Judah would be the one that was going to fight the Canaanites first. Amen. And the Lord, the Bible said, Judah shall go up. Who go first? They said, God said, I'm trying to hurry, so I'm stumbling over myself. Let me slow down a little bit. And God said, who shall go? Or they said, who shall go? And the Bible said, the Lord said, the Judah shall go first. Why? Because an old man dying prophesied how this is going to be. Amen. And then later, we find the Bible talks about David, and that's where we want to pick up on this son of David. I talked to you yesterday about the covenant that God made with David, which would be an everlasting covenant. And you remember that the Bible said in Matthew 1:1, Jesus Christ, amen, the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He inherited both covenants when he came into this world. And so the Bible talks about David. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 7:1, the Lord hath given his rest, the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies. And the fame of David went out into all the lands. And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. And then David said in 1840, chapter 18 and 40, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies. Hallelujah. Right on target, isn't it? Amen. 600 years or 650 years ago, he said, the Bible said that he would be, or the man said that he would be, his hand shall be in the neck of his enemies. And David said, it's come to pass just like he said. We can trust the word of God. I know I'm not doing well, but I'm trying to do best. Then I want to look at something else. This is exciting me. Judah is also compared to a lion's whelp. Now, I don't know if I understand this right, but this is what they say, the people understand the Hebrew. They said that Judah was compared to a lion's whelp and a full-grown lion and to a nursing lioness. And that nursing lioness is the most fierce of all the lions. Amen. That's the one that's the most dangerous. Amen. You have to watch her. And so that's what I'm talking about. Now, When I look at this, the Bible tells us that Judah was on the east side of the tabernacle, and Ezekiel talks about he had the face of a lion. In other words, Judah flew under the standard of the lion. Amen. That's what they carried. And when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, there was that standard. That was the lion. That people saw that, they immediately connected that with Judah. I was reading something, excuse me, in Acts, the 15th chapter. I'll settle down here a minute. But Acts, the 15th chapter, I was reading this, and this is something where they were gathered together, and they were trying to decide what to do about the Gentile converts, you know. And so James finally gives them his counsel, and he talks about Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles and take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophecy written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That tabernacle has fallen down. It's in ruins, but I will build it up. The reason why I'm going to build it up is that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So he's telling them, what we're seeing here, brethren, is the fulfillment of God building up the tabernacle of David. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why I like that is in Amos the 9th chapter, if I could find it right quickly here, the Bible said, and this is where he quoted from, the Bible said, behold, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Now, what was made this interesting me when I was reading this is the fact that word tabernacle don't mean the temple. It doesn't mean the palace. It could mean a hut. But if you'll go to Job, the 38th chapter, and 39th and 40th verse, and I'll turn back there, and I think I can get it if I'm not forgotten where it's at. Amen. Job, the 38th chapter, 38th chapter, 39th and 40th, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? That word covert is the same word that's translated tabernacles in Amos the 9th chapter. That's the same thing. Amen. It means, I can't pronounce this right. The reason why I know I can't pronounce it right is because I used it in front of David Eldridge, and he didn't even know what I was talking about. So I know I'm not going to say this right. It's like when I try to say chair, and I say cheer, you know. It's just one of those things I can't do. But anyway, when that word covert means a L-A-I-R, lair. Is that the way you pronounce that? The lair. And so he says here, he talks in that word den, it means the habitation. And that covert, if I've got it right, and I hope I've got it right, I don't want to do it wrong. Amen. It means not only, it means a place of refuge. So he said, I'm going to build up the tabernacle. I'm going to repair, amen, his habitation. I'm going to give him a place of refuge for the lion and the young lions and the old mama lion. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You remember in Isaiah, it said, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Ariel meant line of God. That's what it meant. Woe to the line of God. The line of God. Jerusalem, the city where David dwelt. I'm talking about, amen, Judah is a line. Amen. He's like the old line, the daddy line. He's like the whelps. Amen. He's like the mama line, fierce. Amen. I got to think about this, and I remember how
have it in the book of Revelation. Amen. That roll was there and was sealed, and John was weeping. Amen. And finally that elder said to John, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed." Hallelujah. Can I say something tonight, or today rather? I'm getting on that tonight, Brother Miller. Amen. But can I say something? You know, if I understand it right, if we can look at this as the old line, as the line of Judah, Christ himself, he's here in our church. We've got young lions here, just been saved. You know what I'm saying? But you know who ought to be guarding them more than anybody else? The church. Hallelujah. The mama lion. Hallelujah. She ought to be the aggressive one. She ought to be the one saying, "You're not going to take my baby. I'm going to bring my baby food. I'm going to see them grow. Amen. I'm going to, because I have the covenant of David. I'm part of that one. That seed of David through Jesus Christ." I'm almost sure of that. Then he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now, I looked at the word Shiloh. One writer said it meant tranquil, rest bringer. Another meant the man of peace. And then in Isaiah 8 and 6, it says, "For as much as these people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly," that one that a bruised reed did not break, smoke and flax he'll not quench. They refuse him because he's not the aggressive king they thought he would be. And so I looked at this, and that water's like water set to an aqueduct, you know, and so it's going just on. And the people refuse him. And I thought about that word said, the waters that go softly. It goes on to talk about scent. It means scent. Amen. You remember the Bible said, "Wherefore, holy brethren, for the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, high priest of profession, Christ Jesus." What does the word apostle mean? One scent. I'm talking about this one that's come up through David. Hallelujah. I'm talking about him. I hope that I'm not wearing you out, but I'm trying to talk to you. And so we can see here that David is involved in this, and Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, also is involved in this. Now, I looked at this, and I'm trying to get into this. I'm working on it. I hope you don't mind. But I thought about when Samuel took the oil, horn of oil, and anointed David. The Bible said he anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Bible said, "Thy brethren shall bow down to thee." Amen. They anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, there's something about the Bible there that I want to call your attention to. There in the book of Samuel, where that is, the next thing we read about after David is anointed, we read of how Saul, amen, gets this evil spirit on him, and he calls David to help do something about it. And then the Bible says, and if I got it right, the Bible tells us in verse 23, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Now, I really think, now I may be wrong about this, but I really think that that's not chronological as far as the time. I think that David killed the giant before he ever played for Saul. Saul didn't know who he was. But I think it's a work of the Holy Ghost, because he was putting something in there that those Jewish people would see and realize about what that horn of oil meant when he was anointed. Amen. And so I want you to think about it. Remember, David said in 8:9-20, "I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil have I anointed him." Hallelujah. You remember what happened when the prophet Ezekiel saw that valley of dry bones and finally come down to where he prophesied to the wind, and that wind, which to me represents the Holy Ghost, came in, and they became exceeding great and mighty army. And the Bible said, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd." I'm talking about that covenant that God made. made with David. I mentioned that yesterday, and I'm trying to go back to that. Listen to this. Now, watch this. Watch this close carefully. Matthew 12, 22, 23. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind, dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Why? Because they read it in their Bible, amen, how that Saul, Samuel anointed him with oil. And then that same scripture tells the story of David playing with his hand and the evil spirits departed. And they put that together. I told you yesterday, amen, that those Jews looked where he anointed and they said that's going to be where the Messiah comes from. And when they saw that, they remembered how that the hand of David drove away the evil spirit. And they said, is not this the son of David? I'll tell you, the common people heard him gladly. The blind and the deaf, amen, were healed by him. And those who are in dire need, thou son of David, have mercy upon us. The rulers and the religious rulers refused him, and they hated him and despised him. But the common people loved him. They saw him as a fulfillment of their desire for their Messiah. Hallelujah. Zacharias prophesied. Well, let me go back. Luke. The angel, 1 and 32, the angel told Mary that Christ would be the son of David. He said, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Zacharias prophesied that John would be the one to be the voice directing the people to this one. But Zacharias said, the Lord God hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And thou, child, shall go before his face. I'm talking about God's covenant with David, and that he would of the seed of David raise up one that would set upon his throne. He'd repair the breaches, amen. He'd fix the lion's den. He'd fix his habitation. He'd fix his security. And he'd put a mother lioness in there that would watch over them like nothing you ever seen. I'm telling you, amen. No wonder the Bible said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Oh, look at diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any rooted bitter spring up trouble you, and thereby many to be defiled. I'm talking about this son of David. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. So our Lord was called the son of David by those who are in need. Amen. I'll tell you something else. According to the Bible, the way I see it, he also wanted to be recognized as the son of David. It was dangerous not to recognize him. You remember the book of Luke, the fourth chapter? And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I've got wrote up here. Me and Brother Buck, don't talk about writing in your Bibles. And we both read, we're kind of bad about it. I got right above that Psalms 89 and 20. Now, I know that's taken from Isaiah, but he is prophesying of the Messiah. Amen. It's 89 and 20. Remember I talked, the Bible said, amen, with my holy oil, I have anointed him. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. Amen. I went to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are abused, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said the wrong thing. They said, is this not Joseph's son? Huh? Notice things deteriorated right then when they said that. Amen. And the Bible said, he said to them, you were surely saying to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Well, amen, here you are. He said only, He said, listen to what he said. You will surely say. In other words, you're not going to say it right now. You're going to say it in the future. You're going to always compare me with what's done somewhere else. But it was because of the fact that they said it's not. I really believe this. I'm convinced in my soul. If they hadn't said it's not this Joseph's son. If they'd said thou art the son of David. These other words would never fall from his lips. But you aren't going to deny him his rightful place in the word of God. And that is he shall fulfill the prophecy that of his seed God would raise up one to sit on the throne. Amen. Now, Nazareth might have been his country. Amen. But Capernaum was his city. Remember the Bible said in Matthew 9, 1, he entered the city, passed over, came into the city. I want to look at this this place, Capernaum. And I want to try to show you something. I hope I'm not wearing it. I don't mean to. But look at the things that happened. And I'm going to give you scriptures because it just takes too much time. It was here at Capernaum that he healed the centurion servant, you know. It's here that Peter's mother-in-law was healed. It was here that he healed the paralytic. It was here that the demon-possessed man was delivered. It was here that dispute over greatness occurred because they were so taken how God was moving this man. And they decided, you know, amen, we're going to have a place somewhere. Greatness occurred. Our Lord's discourse found in John 6, 24 through 59 was here. The Bible said they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So here it was. It's nearby here that he called Andrew, James, John, Simon, and Levi into his discipleship. If we ask this ourselves this question, then we must ask the question, what happened in Matthew, the 11th chapter, that made him say what he said? And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it will remain unto this day. But I say unto you, there shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for it. Why do the change? I think I know the answer. I really do. I think I know. Amen. It's in St. John. The sixth chapter, where he's speaking to them, and I wasn't going to read it, but I think it will just kind of refresh my mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the sixth chapter, and I want to read here just for a second here. When he's talking about the thing he said, will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Joseph's son, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? I'm skipping over a lot there. But look, just like in Luke, is not this Joseph's son? There is something about him he resented not being honored as the seed of David. He resented the fact they didn't see God's covenant with his people coming from this seed of David. Amen. And like I said yesterday, I'm not talking about some man that just was born and God put the word in him. He was the word and is the word. Amen. So I'm not talking about it like that, but I'm simply saying that we must realize the reason why he wanted them to recognize him as the seed of David was so that he might give them the sure mercies of David. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The common people said, is not this David's son? And the religious ruler said, he's a devil. He does things by Beelzebub. The prince of devil. They found everything. God said, I worked. He was working. Amen. Jesus said, I said yesterday, if you believe me not, amen, believe me for my work's sake. But they said, we won't take your word. We won't take your works. You're not the seed of David. You're a seed of fornication. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, when I look at the sure mercies of David, that's one of the grandest things you'll ever run into. Did you know that? You talk about grace. You talk about grace, amen. We all know the story of Bathsheba. We all know the story of that sick baby. We all know the story of its death. We all know the story of David, the devil, causing such a problem that David numbered the children of Israel. And then they had to buy Ornan's threshing floor, amen, to build an altar and offer a sacrifice, for that is what God wanted. But I look at this, and I see here that here is a man that he broke every rule in the book. And yet I read to you yesterday from that same 15th chapter, 13th chapter, he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. John talked about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. David lost in every one of them. Amen. He lusted when he saw Bathsheba. His results was the lust of the flesh, that baby laying in her arms. It was a pride of life that made him want to number the children of Israel. He failed in everything. But God had mercy on him. You hear me? When we talk about the sure mercies, David, are you aware that when David sinned, here's the way I'm going to just give it to you like I said, because I don't believe that David said, I've done wrong, and Nathan just turned around and came back, or turned around and said that to him. I believe a time elapsed. I believe there was time enough for David to pray the 51st Psalm. Amen. I believe there was a time he was praying and seeking God. I believe not only David, he was the book of God. He looked at Genesis. He looked at Exodus. He looked at Numbers. He looked at Deuteronomy. He looked at Joshua. He looked at Judges. Maybe the book of Ruth, and surely the book of Job. And when he looked at it, and his priests looked at it, and all his counselors looked at it, they couldn't find one scripture that would justify him finding forgiveness. Not one. Not one. Amen. Oh, I tell you, amen, I've dealt with people that say, I've done this, I've done that, and I've done so bad, they won't forgive themselves. But I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven, amen, that looks down. What was it that made this man a man after God's own heart? Let me tell you what. He found mercy when he prayed through there, amen, in that 51st Psalm. And when that baby got sick, and you remember, it was the word of the Lord that that baby would die, and yet he fasted and prayed in the face of God's word. And when they asked him, said, why did you do it? He said, who could tell but if the Lord would be gracious. Woo! Hallelujah. And when he sinned by the pride of life, amen, the prophet said, what are we going to do? He said, God is gracious. Hallelujah. He learned about the grace of God. He found out, I may not be able to read it. I may not be able to see it. But if I could throw myself in the arms of God's mercy, if I could somehow find myself there, there's a God that loves me more than anything else in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has put away that sin. But there's some people that they despise that. They despise that. He had a son. His name was Absalom. Best I can figure, Absalom was about 23 years old when David had this Bathsheba affair. He was probably close to the same age as Bathsheba. Remember, she's a wife, but she had no children. She hadn't been married very long, probably. So she was a young woman. David was about 53. Absalom about 23. Amen. And Absalom never could get over that. I really believe that. I believe if you study the Bible, I ain't got time to go into it. But I'm talking about wonder. Wonder and perish. Despise. Wonder and perish. I don't believe God can do that. I don't believe God can save them. Hallelujah. Wrong color. Wrong creed. Wrong this, wrong that. God can save anybody. He's sovereign. He has a right to forgive sins. In fact, that's his nature. Glory be. Absalom. Amen. Amen. He tells us that he was finally hung on a tree. A dart pierced his heart. And 10 young men gathered around him and took his life out. Behold, you despisers, wonder and perish. Behind that, we find Ahithophel, Bathsheba's grandfather. He joined in the rebellion, and God began to move in such a way he confused the thinking of Absalom. The Bible tells us that when he saw that his Ahithophel, that his counsel was not, he hanged himself and died. That's who that's gone, that despised. And so let's go a little farther. And on top of that rebellion, we find Shimei coming out and cursing David and said, "Come out, thy bloody man." He'd heard how David said, "You can't keep building a temple because I'm a bloody man." Perhaps, I don't know that it is. But he said, "Come out, thy bloody man." But there came a day when judgment fell on Shimei and he died. I'm just naming some. There's others that could be named. Adonijah, Solomon's half-brother, told Solomon's mother, "Thou knowest the kingdom was mine." Amen. But he didn't live to enjoy it because he tried to rebel against God to forgive David and forgive Bathsheba and Solomon on the throne. He couldn't stand that. And so he died. Amen. And on top of that, the one that was advising him, Abiathar, the priest, amen, that had joined in rebellion, God's mercy allowed him to go, but he was put out. He never held another office, never had anything to do. He shoved aside because of his hate and hatred for God's mercy that was being shown on this man we call David. Joab couldn't see God's mercy in it. And he was a man that was a man that really didn't know much mercy, did he? You can see by how often he killed people. He didn't have any mercy. But he died holding on the horn altar in the tabernacle Lord. The horns, that's representative power in the tabernacle Lord. But he died because he despised. I'll tell you, you may sit in church. You may not ever mighty know it. But if you despise when God saves somebody, you better get a hold of yourself. You hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to preach to you. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. God's mercy. I wish I had an hour just preach on God's good mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish. I know I'm thinking of things. I'm thinking of Fred 78, Benny 79, different ones that I've seen the Lord save that have been wicked men. But I don't go back to that. I've went through that. I've told you before about it, so I'm not going to fool with that. But I want to give you a scripture. Amen. The Bible says in Micah 7, 18 and 19, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" Hallelujah. "And passeth by transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, I wish I could touch you today. Let me, whoever our pastor is, Brother Randy, amen. He quoted, says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor that not satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Hallelujah. One more thing while we get a song. One more thing. I looked at that in Micah there. It talked about the loving kindness. And I don't even see it, but I know it's in there. Amen. I may not read it, but it's in there. And translated, loving kindness. It's loving kindness. And I think I just skipped over it. But anyway, I could look at that one time. And that, no, I know it. Mercy. The Bible talks, he delighteth in mercy. That's translated loving kindness 26 times in the Bible. Wow. It's translated 21 times loving kindness in Psalms. And Jeremiah's translated 4 times, that's 25. In Hosea, it's translated 1. That makes 26 times. You say, "Brother, what
taken care of. Did you ever study biblical numerology? 26. 26 in biblical numerology is the number of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the gospel, brother. Loving kindness. Now look at this. In John 3:16, there are exactly 26 words in the Greek language in John 3:16 for God's love. Well, you know that. That's the gospel, brother. But in the English language, there's only 25. 25 is the word, the number that's associated with forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. That's numerology. But that's the gospel. It's forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That covenant, that wonderful covenant, that wonderful Son of David. I know I went too fast, but I just did the best I could. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I promise tomorrow will be shorter. Hallelujah. I think. All right. Are we ready to sing?
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, aren't you the one that played that choir last night? Boy. When they got up and I heard that bass just right. And that piano making that introduction, you know, that little deal you done before the choir started singing.
Yeah.
And I heard those drums and I heard it, whoop. I said, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, why not just come on up, get saved, and go home saved. Hallelujah. Come up and find the sure mercies of David. Isn't it wonderful to know that God took his great book and just saturated it. Just saturated. Fifth chapter of the book of John. That's the number of grace. Amen. When he found that man at the pool of Bethesda that had five porches, the number of grace. Jesus said to him five words, wilt thou be made whole? Hallelujah. Grace, grace, grace. Sing. Amen.